You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
This is SecurityJabber.com, episode 38, segment 2. Last segment, we talked a little bit about the impact of social media, our evolutionary need for approval, which Facebook and social media are exploiting. We talked about the impact that social media has on stock prices and such like. This is Dave Glenn. I'm joined as usual by
Matt Thompson,
Chris Burrows,
and special guest tonight,
Adam Eichhoff
from Adient. Guys, we talked a little bit about the social aspects of social media in segment one. We're going to take a deeper dive right now into cybersecurity and social media. Matt, why don't you bring us in with what we're going to talk about here?
Yeah. So for this first story, to kind of get things started, there's an interesting article from CSO Online. The U.S. State Department wants 5 years worth of social media history from visa applicants. And essentially it's getting into this idea of vetting not only people that are applying for citizenship, but also for green cards and visiting the country and basically handing over that information, which is a real stark contrast to what we're seeing with GDPR and the right to be forgotten. So it's almost counterproductive to what they're trying to do in the EU. And it's not just social media. They put the info in here, U.S. visa applicants for social media accounts, email addresses, and phone numbers. So basically giving up the keys of the kingdom. If you want to visit the United States, they should be ready to hand over a 5-year history of the social media accounts, email addresses, wow, phone numbers. The latest proposed extreme vetting details were published on the Federal Register Friday. The proposal seeks to add additional questions to immigration and non-immigrant visa applicants. So I have multiple feelings about these things. I guess for a U.S. citizen, you go, well, if you want to come in, yeah, give it all up. And chances are they should, if the U.S. government wants to get the information, it's probably readily available and they have ways of getting it anyways. On the other side of that, and you look at the privacy piece, you get a little bit nervous with some of the other things that we're seeing and you start taking a step back and going, well, how long before they start saying, well, you want to get Social Security or you want to get a driver's license? Well, give up all your information. It's a pretty hard line in the sand, like I said, and it's just before GDPR comes out. So I don't know if this is just a coincidence or
interesting political conversation, maybe.
Yeah, it's very weird. And I don't even know as a user, I look at this from a practical standpoint. I feel like I'm a technology person and I probably have a good grasp on where my information is, what accounts I have. If you put me in a room and said, give me all your credentials for all your social media accounts from the last 5 years, all your email addresses and every phone number you've ever had, I don't think I could produce it. And I would probably show up with red flags. I think it's a hard question, but it's a good one to start off on. If the State Department starts asking for this stuff, how long before publicly held companies start doing the same? And kind of your feelings and thoughts, and is this something we could actually do in the U.S.?
I think they're already doing it, right? Employers are doing it already. They have parts of their HR department that are going looking at your social media accounts and looking for things that you've done. I mean, maybe they're not asking for your past email addresses, but I think that's for national security reasons. Mm-hmm. But from what type of person are you? I know HR companies are doing it today.
Especially if it's public, too. It's not hard to go back 5 years.
Yeah, I think social media scraping, totally get that. If somebody else is scraping what I've offered up, that's one thing. Another thing is to say, give me all your social media accounts, passwords, emails, phone numbers. I want access to everything that you've done.
I don't think they're asking for passwords. They're saying the applicant will be given the option to provide information about any social media identifiers associated with any platforms other than those that are listed. that the applicant has used in the last 5 years. They'll collect this information from visa applicants for identity resolution and vetting purposes based on statutory visa eligibility standards. I think this is going to be one of those things that causes a lot of questions on each of these things. The U.S. grants visa-free travel to 38 countries like Australia, Canada, UK, Germany, France, Japan, etc. If they're not on that list, you'd be required to hand over your data before coming to the U.S. for work, education, or vacation. About 710,000 immigrant visa applicants and 14 million non-immigrant visa applicants would be affected.
Yeah, I think having emails and passwords is a bigger deal. Right? Just email accounts is, they already have it.
That's how you reset all your other passwords.
Right. Well, and listen, the fact of the matter is that one of the things that I think if you know, playing advocate for this, one of the things that they want to do is they want to establish that you are who you say you are. I got stopped at customs, I don't know, a couple of years ago. I was coming back from the UK. And they pulled me aside and asked me if I'd ever lived in Brooklyn. And I said, no, I haven't lived in Brooklyn. And they thought I was a 46-year-old African-American man named David Glenn that had held up a liquor store. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Like it was, they had a picture of this guy. He didn't look anything like me. Well, I mean, a little like me, but not much. But, you know, I think one of the things that they're trying to do is distinguish, you know, one guy named Dave Glenn from another guy named Dave Glenn. Part of their ability to do that is by looking up previous email accounts, previous, you know, and social media platforms to establish their identity. So, you know.
So I think this sets an interesting precedent too. So coming at this from a different perspective, Army veteran and with a clearance, there's a form called SF-86 that you have to fill out. And on this form, you have to list everywhere you've lived, every school you've been to, every place of employment. And you have to give a reference for every single one of these. And that reference person has to be unique through the entire document. It's like a 30 plus page document.
Wow. Okay.
It's absolutely insane. It takes days, sometimes weeks to fill this thing out. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if this starts showing up on that SF-86 social media accounts as well.
Weren't all those SF-86s breached not too long ago?
OPM. Yeah. OPM.
Anybody? That was going to be my pivot point here. Everybody gives you that, you know, those documents of information. Yeah, I've been on the opposite side of those calls for the government. So has my wife.
Yeah.
You know, coming straight out of college, we had some friends that went to go work for the military for EOD and one for naval research. And she got a call and I got a call.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some pretty deep questions in there, very specifically vetting out. And
if you get a secret clearance, they go back 5 years. If you get a top secret, they go back 10 years. And they will find any gaps or anything that is a discrepancy on that form, they will find.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, yeah, I think it's interesting. It's this constant push and pull we feel, you know, give us all the things. By the way, we're not, from a federal government standpoint, going to be able to protect them. I just always wonder what's the next step towards. I have no illusions that that my information is safe from the federal government. They actually want it. But making it a formalized piece of process and to getting things and moving through applications can be a little unnerving sometimes for a U.S. citizen. I do remember probably right around, well, it's almost 10 years ago, there was a short time where when you were applying for companies that the HR department was asking for your credentials, for your social media. And I made that a hard stance. Like, if at any company ever said, you have to give me your username and password before you get a job here, I'm not working there.
For sure.
I think they moved away from that. Yeah. There was a pretty sharp backlash, after some stories got published. But, I think it's an interesting topic to see how this evolves. But again, for me, the bigger thing was, this is right next to GDPR, like the right to be forgotten.
It's almost the antithesis. You're right. Yeah. It's almost the mirror opposite.
And if you look at the companies that there are, the countries that it's attached to, most, a bunch of those are, you know, GDPR company or countries.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the interesting things about this whole thing is, if we look at what's going on right now, from the school violence situation, There is, you know, certainly an uptick in terrorist activity. All these things are happening. And, you know, going back to a terrible day in U.S. history, when you think about 9/11, you had the thought had to go through your mind back then. This is where we start trading liberty for security. And I think, you know, I think the one disturbing thing and the interesting thing it'll be interesting to see as we move things forward, predictive analysis and artificial intelligence is going to become more and more important. It's going to become more and more valid and validated. And think about like the movie, remember the movie Minority Report? It's a Philip Dick story, you know, where they really use this whole predictive analysis, you know, this ability to see the future, in controlling crime. There really is kind of a fine line between what someone is capable of doing and what somebody actually does make a choice to do. And there are people that live within the moral confines of society that think some crazy thoughts sometimes. And it'll just be interesting to watch as we again invest more and more in artificial intelligence and user and entity behavior analytics and this whole idea of looking at, you know, what the possible is and what we predict things to have happen. I think we're entering kind of a brave new world of monitoring of people in that way. It's really interesting.
We can talk about that, but can we get flying cars? There's flying cars in that movie. Can we get some flying cars, man? It's 2018. Give me some flying cars.
So social media security issues your business faces. There's a really cool article. We just texted it out. So Matt, thanks for pulling this up, because I think these are really important. So before we get into the kind of just reading through this list, Chris and Adam. So Adam, you're currently involved in identity and security at the company you work for. And Chris, you were until recently, a CISO for Oakland County, the CISO for Oakland County. Now you've joined a CBI, a consulting company. Either at your previous role or with the companies that you've engaged with now, kind of for both you guys, what do you think the primary security issues are associated with social media? Why should a company be concerned about social media accounts?
Account credential harvesting. People are too lazy to change their passwords. So the passwords they use for Facebook are the same passwords they use for their Office 365 account, or with one little variation.
Sure.
And, you know, now with OneDrive and all the access, it's just like giving them access right to your desktop.
Okay.
So that's the number one thing for me is credential harvesting.
Okay. Got it. What about you, Adam?
I would have to agree. That's what I've seen as well.
Yeah. Okay.
And the patterns too is interesting, because a lot of people that they will add a number to the, you know, to the password. And so that'll create this pattern that an attacker could find, right? So they change it. If it's, you know, password ending in number one, they get hacked. They change the password. Now it ends in two. Well, then a hacker could guess that very easily.
Right.
How would they guess that?
Well, if they got the clear text of the password, then, you know, it would be obvious. And if they saw several of them and they had, you know, three, now they can really build a pattern at that point.
There was another article not too long ago I read yesterday, the day before, the top 10 passwords, and there were summer 17, winter 16. Yep. They're just going by season and year. Yeah.
We've mentioned Have I Been Pwned quite a bit. Every time there's a breach, the latest was we didn't even talk about it, but Under Armour, their health application got breached, and it was what, 150 million or 50 million?
Yeah, my fitness pal.
Yeah, my fitness pal. So that stuff got breached, and the first thing it did was, oh, yep, that's on my phone. As you guys can tell, I work out all the time, so
you must work out.
Yeah, so went in and I'll check. Have I been pwned? Like, I'll keep checking. I check my passwords that I have. I'll check my emails, and across the board, and then also throughout. I have a spreadsheet with some of my mom's email addresses and my grandma's, and just I'll run them through from time to time to make sure that they haven't been.
Well, there's a password page too, where you can check to see how long it would take to crack your password. I was showing my kids that 2 days ago, and they're like, it was fun for them because they were like, oh, let's try this password. This one's going to take 2 years. Well, what if we add something else to the end of it? Oh, it's going to take 24 years. Let's add something else. So it was a game for them. So at least
that's cool.
My kids are learning about complex password.
Do you remember what that site was, Chris?
Hold on. I'll look it up.
So as you're looking that up, as we're kind of talking through this piece here, let's go through some of the others. Ransomware and virus attacks. Your social media account gets compromised. Somebody could launch ransomware through those private messages. I don't know if you guys have gotten this, but I occasionally get a Facebook message from, you know, a friend's grandmother or something that says, you know, click here and you know, please support me. Click on this sweepstakes or please forward this on to, you know, there's those guilty things where people are like, if you don't share this with 20 people, then you're going to have bad luck for the next 7 years or whatever. And several of those things, not as many recently, but for a while there, I was getting, especially from some of the older people that I know, I was getting some of those, you know, and then a couple of days later, you'd get a message saying, you know, sorry, my account's been compromised. I got a message from somebody from church that when I opened up the message, it was pretty racy content.
No, wow.
And I was like, oh, that's not like that person.
So one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of these memes, if you will, that say, find out your superhero name.
Oh, right.
You know, the month that you were born and the day that you were born, this is your first and last superhero name.
Yep.
You've now just given them your birth date.
That's right.
And what is your security questions usually comprised of?
What are your birthday, mother's
maiden
name?
Where you grew up. Exactly. Mother's maiden name, your birth date, mm-hmm. zip code, things like that.
I yell at people all the time because they sign up for these apps to help generate that. And you have to click and share a ton of information over. And then there's a couple of people on my Facebook wall. I was like, listen, let me give you a talking to, son. Like, this is why you don't do those things.
And those posts are all public. Anybody can see that information.
Yeah,
that's right.
And those companies, they pop up overnight. You have no idea that all they're doing is just taking those creds and they're selling them to somebody else. But the other thing I've seen quite a bit is, you know, using the spear phishing attack. And so yep. they'll create a fake profile with some racy pictures and some other stuff and do a friend request and try to work their way up the friend's ladder. Like, mm-hmm. well, so-and-so. I actually take, I don't know about you guys, but when someone sends me a Facebook request that's obviously fake, or if I'm on a thread and someone's posting that, I will take the few seconds it does to report them to Facebook and say, this is a fake yep. account. If only because I know that this person's probably starting to propagate within my circles, and I'm just trying to protect my friends that don't know better. She looks trustworthy. I should definitely become friends with her and share information. You know, get those profiles out of the circles, and you know, keep the circle healthy.
That was a real threat for us. You know, when I was active duty, was fake Facebook profiles that were really ISIS. That was a legit really? Thing. And we had to be educated on that to not accept friend requests from random good looking girls because they're not. They're probably dudes sitting behind a computer.
That's pretty much a good rule for everything on the internet. If
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you think it's a good looking girl, it's usually not.
It's a 300-pound next door neighbor, Chuck, yeah. in his mom's basement.
Some dude with a pit.
Mine from
Ready Player One.
Yes.
Lotion on the skin.
Yes. Yes.
I just saw that last night, actually.
What'd you think?
It was amazing. I love that movie.
Have you read the book?
I have not.
You must read the book.
I'll do that.
Have you been to the arcade?
No. Okay. Well, I did go to the arcade recently.
Yeah. Downtown. Yeah. No, the Ready Player One arcade.
Oh, no. I haven't been there.
There's an arcade called Ready Player One downtown Detroit.
I'm going to have to check that out now.
Yeah. It's right by Greek now, down by the office.
Oh, that's dangerous.
All right. So
yeah. So hacked accounts. We talked a little bit about this. This is an interesting statistic. While business accounts are different than personal accounts, just to give you some scale, nearly 2 in 3 U.S. adults who have personal social media profiles say they're aware their accounts have been hacked.
Would that be two-thirds?
Yeah. Would be two-thirds.
Yes.
Two-thirds of Americans, or 66.6%.
Repeating, of course.
Repeating, yes. Six, yeah. With this alarming rate of personal accounts being compromised, business accounts have to be more conscious of social media security so they don't fall victim to the same fate. That's kind of an interesting one for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, especially if you have like a Plurk account or something. No, just kidding. Anybody still have Plurk? Is that still a thing?
What is that?
Matt doesn't even know what that is. Plurk was this when Twitter took off. Plurk wanted to be Twitter, and Twitter took off, and Plurk didn't. Anyway, random internet trivia. But the fact of the matter is, if you've got multiple social media sites, chances are one of them is going to get compromised, and your credentials are going to get swiped. So there are some people that use the same password across multiple sites. And whether you do or you don't, chances are at some point you're going to get compromised. People can either launch attacks from there or use that data launch attacks from there and use that for other nefarious purposes.
So here's the tough part, especially when you get in just a pure social media. Almost without fail, every new app I have or anything that has to do with social interaction has Facebook or Google as an authenticator.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just use your Facebook account or use your Google account. I struggle with, all right, well, if Facebook gets compromised, this app gets compromised, or do I have to create 98 different user profiles for all these different apps? Because nobody wants you to go to the website anymore. They want the app. And by and large, I'm finding that the UI for the app and the things that are provided in the app are way more useful than the website.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's every time I got to sit back and go, do I create a new profile or use Facebook? And more by default, I'm starting to use my social media profile. So yeah. LinkedIn, yes, I know it ties, once they have that other piece, but you know, like for instance, Fortnite. I'm not going to create a new profile for something that's a social media platform video game.
Did you read the EULA for that? I bet you didn't.
I did not.
And I think that's a good point to get a password manager too.
Mm-hmm.
One pass,
yeah,
flash sure. pass, key pass, one of those.
Yeah.
I easily have 400 to 500 accounts in my password manager
yeah.
for that reason. I mean, I try not to use Facebook and I try not to use Google. I try to have those separate accounts for that reason, but it doesn't always work.
So there's another social media best practice that I've known about for quite some time, but I haven't ever used. And I probably should. I used to make up mother's maiden name and stuff like that. I used to make those up. And I give them a different birthday, but then of course I've lost track of what I told those people. Somebody was just telling me that they actually have a complete write-up of their fake birthday and they just carry it with them in their wallet. It's their fake birthday, their fake mother's maiden name, their fake birthplace, all that other stuff. Throwing out that kind of misdirection and seeding some databases that way is probably a good idea.
You can change your name. Right, and put one in.
Yeah, right.
In yep. Glenn, and that way you know where the data came from.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that before.
He's outed yeah. you. It's game over.
Yeah, right.
The other thing that I've heard of
Chris Burrow instead of Burrows. What,
exactly.
Yeah.
Is for those questions, they'll actually do a password.
Oh,
random
yeah.
string of characters.
Yeah.
Where were you born? You know, it's $@ @123
yeah.
something. So it's not actually a word that they're using. They're just using another password. They store it. And then that's what they use. Kind of like you said, carry that sheet around.
Yeah.
And they have that with them.
Security obscurity.
Right.
I think some sites are getting better. I tried to create a fake LinkedIn account just to see if I could do it, and they wouldn't let me. They're like, this looks to be fake. And they're looking at different areas. They're looking at pictures that have been reused because I've just picked a random picture because I wanted to see if I could do it. So I picked a random picture, and this was my name, and I created a Gmail account with that person's name, and mm-hmm. they came back and said, sorry, this doesn't look legit. If you want this account, you can call us.
You know who's really good at that? Glassdoor.
Are they?
Yeah. I went to go, you know, I have a Glassdoor account, and probably like a year ago, I tried to, hey, I want to put in a couple places I worked. So I put in reviews, and they're like, yeah, you've already done that. I don't remember that account from 8 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like there was another account that I had, and they're like, yeah, all the write-ups that you did that are beautiful and, you know, I took the time to actually do it at a professional level. Like, yeah, I can't do that. But Glassdoor is really good at catching fake accounts.
One of the things I've noticed you can do too with your emails is you can add a plus symbol, right? Give it a string of characters. So like, for example, my email, I'm not going to give my actual email, but his first name, you know, whatever the string of characters is, plus sign. And then you can say like a LinkedIn or Gmail or Yahoo or whatever it is at your host. And what that is an identifier. So when you get spam, you can identify where or what website sold your information.
No kidding. Yep. Okay.
And so it's still a valid email address. So you can have, you know, 1,000 unique emails technically.
Yeah.
But it's still a valid email. Will all go to one single mailbox.
That's interesting. So
now I know where my emails are going.
Where do you append that?
So it's before the at symbol.
Okay.
But after the unique identifier. So if your email is whatever, first name, initial, last name at gmail.com, you could do first name, initial, last name plus LinkedIn at gmail.com.
No kidding. Huh. I'll have to try that out. Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Good pro tip from Adam. Phishing and brand impersonation. Setting up a website that resembles that of the company's customers are targeted as part of the phishing attack. When they set up social media, when people, malicious attackers set those up posing as your brand, they're representing themselves as your company. That can set your customers up to purchase counterfeit products, receive ransomware, customer confusion, all the rest of that. So we know about that.
Equifax.
Yeah, exactly.
The guy set it up and then the Equifax main, you know, Twitter account retweeted his fake website. So that was kind of
insane.
You go back to Security Jabber and you can find the notes where we ran through that. We spent probably a good hour diving into the process of why that happens.
Yeah. Stolen passwords. We talked about that. Stolen social media passwords.
Connected apps. I thought that was another cool one in here where they look at the ability to connect multiple applications to your business application. So, and sometimes it makes sense, but having control over that from a corporate standpoint, making sure that maybe you don't want LinkedIn connecting to people's Outlook and everything else, or for instance, like Waze or all these other apps are able to connect into your business apps. It's holes in your network.
This is an interesting one, that's relevant for a lot of people. Administrators on your company's social media account pages. If somebody steals a password if somebody helps post stuff on your company's Facebook page or Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever, if somebody breaks into one of your administrators' personal accounts and they have access to your corporate account, then they could compromise your corporate face of the company.
Well, they're also saying too, sharing. You know, you and I sharing the same credentials to, instead of purchasing another social media account or provisioning another one, which is a big provisioning, you have to have that for identity access management. Yeah. You know, most companies go, well, here's our Twitter account and four or five people take turns sharing that out. One person leaves the company. Or,
no way to establish accountability for that.
That's not a good.
One of the undocumented processes we had at one company was if you're going to be on a tech forum looking for help. Mm-hmm. You know, as a system admin, you had to use your personalized email address. You couldn't use the corporate email address.
Yeah.
Because you're putting detail out there. You're saying, I'm looking at SAP and it's version 8.1 and I'm trying to do this. Now you just gave somebody that's a technology person your footprint into your company because it's at, you know, oracle.com.
That's a great take.
So there's in the link that we just texted out, there's a Brandel has a social media governance plan ebook. It's got the top corporate risk factors that keep CEOs awake at night, 12 steps it takes to create a solid social media governance plan, the key stakeholders that must be part of your governance team, the audit process for those monitoring, and, you know, social media risk management is all about making the plan and working the plan. I think that's really good advice. I think that can apply for anything, you know, for any area of governance within your organization. But I think this is a really credible and valid conversation here. Guys, we're going to wrap things up tonight with this episode 38 segment. What is it? Segment 2. Before we finish, Adam, we're going to have you back to do an interview next time. So
sure.
You're welcome back anytime. As we said earlier, you got a face made for radio. So, I mean, a voice made for radio. So, really enjoyed having you on tonight.
Love you too, Dave.
So just around the horn here. Anybody got anything interesting you want to share? Good book you're reading, good movie you saw, good, you know, interesting TV show you got sucked into. Any words of advice? Anybody got anything? Chris?
The book I'm reading right now is 100 Deadly Skills.
Nice.
How to defend yourself in any situation.
100 really Deadly Skills. Awesome. All right. I'm gonna put that on the list.
It's a cool book.
So I'm reading a book called Solve for Happy. This guy is a Google engineer.
Nice. Okay.
And so he came up with this idea that happiness is the absence of unhappiness. And he gives this formula. It's really interesting.
What is the book called?
Solve for Happy. The author's name is Mo Gawdat, Gawdat.
Can you use that in a sentence?
No.
What is it?
He just did.
Solve for Happy.
Country of origin.
All right. Anybody else? Jess, you got anything for us tonight? No. Jess has nothing. Maddie?
Silicon Valley's back, man. How do you... No, Dave's giving me stares like, what... You watch Silicon Valley?
No, I don't watch it, but yes, I know.
Oh, man, it's so good. It hits home. Any of you guys watch Silicon Valley?
No, it's on the to-do list, but it hasn't gotten done
It resonates so close to what we deal with on a day-to-day thing, and it's kind of cool to see these guys struggle through bringing this company. And, you know, for instance, in one of the episodes, all the files get deleted because a drunk guy puts his elbow down on a keyboard. And he's just going through and just deleting files one by one by one. And they think they're under cyber attack. And it's just some guy leaning on a keyboard just deleting all the files, and they're freaking out. So there's just small things like that. It's definitely a good watch. It's a short episode. So if you're into IT, Silicon Valley, or if you have Netflix, The IT Crowd, which is a British comedy, is
that one's funny.
Glorious as well.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you about that. What's... How is that?
The premise is there are two IT guys that do not want to do anything. They're in a large English corporation that has no idea what they're doing. The CEO of the company is kind of like Michael Scott from The Office, so except he's extremely rich and boisterous. And their manager has been put in charge of them, but she has no idea what IT is. If you just want a little sample of what the IT Crowd is, put IT Crowd, the internet box.
And that's hilarious.
It's a 5-minute video.
Nice.
And that will sum it up, and you'll be like, yeah, I'm going to watch all of those. It's great. It's so good.
I'm on it. I am reading a book called The River of Doubt, Theodore Roosevelt's Darkest Journey by Candace Millard. Theodore Roosevelt lost this presidential nominee or his presidential bid, for his third term. He basically went and explored this river in South America, and just a really interesting story about what he did with, you know, Roosevelt was an amazing, Theodore Roosevelt was an amazing, amazing person. And so I'm reading that right now, along with a couple of other business books, but this book is really interesting. Guys, again, you know, from best practice perspective, really pay attention to your strategic decisions about any area of governance. Take a look at the couple of links that we tweeted out on our in the Twitterverse from Security Jabber at Security Jabber. Matt, why don't you wrap us up here?
Sure. So this has been episode 38 of Security Jabber. You can find us on securityjabber.com, at Twitter at Security Jabber, and then facebook.com/secjabber. And we will be back next week with a new round of interesting stories. And hopefully, maybe Adam will join us again.
Hopefully.
Awesome. Have a great night, everyone.